Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Come see us at training camp.
Is it in Pennsylvania?
No, Rochester.
Rochester.
St. John Fisher.
Excellent. Oh, I love it. I'll be there for sure.
It may not have been the greatest fan experience last year. It certainly wasn't for a variety of reasons that you mentioned, but the fan experience during the season was way better.
Mike Danger.
If you want to meet Gene Battaglia at Bills training camp, just look for him and Brent Musburger.
We could share a cold one and maybe a win or two.
Gene Battaglia.
If anything, should we perhaps expect a shorter camp here at Fisher in 2018?
I think so. I would, just because it was shorter last year.
You just won your fifth Kentucky Derby with an undefeated Colt. How do you describe what Justify just did?
To have only run three times and to win the Kentucky Derby, it's unheard of.
If you say expansion, what does that really entail?
And the Vegas Golden Knights will check another box in their expansion season. They're on their way to the Western Conference Final.
Rochester Sports Leader, 95.7 ESPN.
We'll talk some hockey with Bill Hoppe. BuffaloHockeyBeat.com in just a few moments here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Welcome in. Thanks for stopping by AM 950 and 95.7 FM. You can read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news at our home online, ESPNRochester.com. Also, our conversation from last hour with Mike Catalana, available on demand now at ESPNRochester.com. And if you're on the go, listen to us through the Radio.com app. Free to download. Take the Sports Bar and ESPN Rochester with you everywhere you go. Listen anywhere, anytime. I am Mike Danger. He is Gene Battaglia.
One note just coming over from the Amerks. Another divisional realignment here in the American Hockey League. This one's not too bad, though. They're adding a team back into the Amerks division. Welcome back, Cleveland. So, formerly the Lake Erie Monsters, the Cleveland Monsters will join Belleville, Binghamton, Laval, Syracuse, Toronto, Utica, and Rochester in the North Division next year. Eight teams in the North coming up in 2018-2019.
All right, good stuff. You ready to play? I'll drink to that in the Sports Bar.
Of course.
Let's do it.
Hey, baby!
Provocative thoughts from around the world of sports.
We're going to be here all day!
Agree or shake your head in disbelief?
We're going to be here all day, baby!
A glass.
I like that kind of party.
It's time for I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar.
I like that kind of party, baby.
With Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar.
Green Bay Packers head coach Mike McCarthy says his new backup, DeShone Kizer, had the draft been this year, had Kizer been in this year's draft, he would have been a first rounder. Really? Why would you say that, coach? Kizer went in the second round last year, and it's not like he upped his value. He's like the new car driven off a lot. Immediately, Kizer's value went down last year, playing for an 0-16 team. That's how you got him. Packer fans, I don't know how you deal with this guy. Mike McCarthy is full of it.
Yeah, he's full of it, but he's also trying to create a value when the public perceives that there isn't one. So by saying that he's a first-round talent, well, then when you pay Aaron Rodgers less than what Aaron Rodgers wants and he's disgruntled during his playing time in Green Bay, you'll always have this thought, well, hey, maybe, you're thinking DeShone Kizer is a first-round talent.
Well, look, why is Ben Roethlisberger threatened by Mason? Because there's potential of Mason Rudolph. Who's going to be threatened by DeShone Kizer, the quarterback that went 0-16?
I don't know. We haven't seen anything of DeShone Kizer in a real football uniform. I mean, playing for Cleveland last year, what did you expect?
What thought do I have about DeShone Kizer? You've heard me tell it, say a million times.
Go ahead.
I saw enough of him in Notre Dame. He wasn't. I wouldn't have drafted him in the fourth round if I were running an NFL franchise.
I'll drink to that.
Gino, I'm convinced that short of me saying something horribly off color, my future in broadcast, it's fairly secure. However, if I am replaced, Gene, if you're replaced, that replacement will come in the form of a former athlete, Cliff Averill, joining a Seattle Sports Talk station to co-host their midday show. Great post-career move for him. And more fear for us to live in here in the lives of insecure radio hosts like you and I.
Look, who could be out there? I mean, the Linus Olmark. I could be taken over by Linus Olmark.
Mm-hmm.
Pick another Buffalo Bill danger.
I mean, yeah. You know, charismatic guy like Dan Mason, when he decides to retire as GM of the Rochester Red Wings, you don't think he would make a good place? Guys with bigger names than you and I could just walk in here, waltz in here at any day, any moment, after they've retired or after they were going to pursue something.
We're not as secure as we think we are we, Gene? Oh, here we go. Now the insecurity step. Insecurity.
Listen to Tasker before us. It shows so good now.
Tasker
on there, yeah.
Yes.
I'll drink to that.
Yankees swept the Angels. Yankees took 3 of 4 from Houston. Yankees sweep Cleveland.
Whoa.
They've won 15 of 16. Imagine what's going to happen when they go to feast on the likes of the Baltimores and the Tampas of the world. This isn't a fluke. This team is good. All it's missing, though, is an ace. Just like Houston going out and getting Verlander last year, that put him over the top. That's something Brian Cashman should go acquire at the deadline.
I'll drink to that, and he will. Don't worry. The Yankees are going to be in.
Yeah, Bumgarner.
I'll drink to that.
All right, let's review Twitter here. This was sent out from Evander Kane. Thank you to the fans of hashtag San Jose for the support throughout this postseason. You made it a great experience each and every night in the tank. This is not how any of us wanted the season to end, but it was special being able to play with this group of guys and organization. Signed EK9. I'm only bringing this up not because we care about what the San... Well, we do care
we
about...
We care, yeah.
We wanted the San Jose Sharks to hoist that Stanley Cup, to get that conditional first-round pick. Now what are we hoping for, Gene?
He's got to resign.
He's got to resign with San Jose.
Yeah.
And this tweet, maybe the first in a process to having Evander Kane back in teal next year and getting the Sabres, conditional pick.
Yeah, the reasons why San Jose lost to Vegas, I wouldn't put Evander Kane in the top five. Not at all. I mean,
no.
It seems like that's a good fit. And yes, they're still in the honeymoon phase there, and you may see bad Evander Kane. Come on, San Jose, sign him. Sign him.
Make it so.
I was hoping to get at least one game seven, but my goodness. Vegas taking care of business. How about that? Tampa taking care of business.
Thank God. Listen, if you're a Bruins fan, I'm going to apologize. Thank God you're not in the postseason anymore. I can't watch Brad Marchand lick any more faces. I just can't. I get what he's doing. I understand why he's doing it. That guy has the most punchable face in hockey. I can't believe he's lasted this long without somebody just taking him out.
No,
I thought Callahan was going to kill him the other day.
They didn't catch it originally. They came back from break and they showed the lick. And yeah, Callahan, credit him for not going crazy on.
Yeah, right, multiple reasons. Right, he went low.
Yeah,
and then to follow it up with the lick to the face. Ryan Callahan has more patience than you or I combined. I mean, I would kill a guy. What are you doing? Bye bye.
Well, it's Marchand, but like the little kid who, you know, is just misbehaving. And then you look at the parents, and the parents are on their phone. The parents are not paying attention. It's the NHL! This isn't new with Marchand. What was the story in the Toronto series? He licked the Maple Leaf.
Yes.
What did the NHL did?
No more licking faces.
We sent a letter. Oh, wow. That really deterred him. And then after Marchand did it again, well, you know, you're going to do it again. You may be subject to discipline. Yeah, that works with kids. And it also works with punky hockey players, too, like Brad Marchand. NHL, stop. You condone that sort of behavior when we're going to write a strongly worded letter to you. Stop doing this. Stop. NHL, you're the parent on your phone. Pay attention.
Bill Hoppe will talk some more hockey, some Sabres hockey, BuffaloHockeyBeat.com. And also the Olean Times Herald. Bill Hoppe will join us here in just a few minutes in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Did you have a good weekend, Gene?
I did.
I want to run into anybody in Rochester who had a bad weekend. I don't know that anybody had a bad weekend when this really felt like the first weekend where you could get out. Like, went through walks through multiple neighborhoods and just saw people working outside, getting yard work done, cleaning up, getting to, you know, clean sweep was at Frontier Field, downtown. Everybody was out. Everybody was just kind of getting their house in order. Felt right.
Everybody's in a great mood. Went for a couple runs, Danger. Took up the track meet in Hilton. Saw my daughter run on Saturday night. So that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, just a great weekend to be out. And
when you settle in at night. You get to watch a little playoff hockey or the NBA. I mean, it all comes together.
I didn't get to watch a lot of action on Saturday night because the neighborhood get together was set.
All
of the neighborhood got together. We all met up downtown, Cinco de Mayo, amateur hour, and it was insane downtown. And we went to a restaurant downtown and had a great time. You know, put a value on good neighbors. And think about situations where you didn't know your neighbors or you weren't close with your neighbors. And then think about what it would be like if you had these people in your lives, these people that you know that if you were down on your luck or if something bad was happening, they would be there for you. Man, I am never leaving my neighborhood. I refuse to think that any of the neighbors that I was out with on Saturday night are ever leaving my neighborhood. You're not allowed. You're not allowed.
Your neighborhood exhausts me, though. Every time I'm up in your neighborhood, though, it's just people out everywhere. Sometimes I want to go home and just be in my cave. Like, leave me alone.
West Greece?
Yeah.
Grilton, as I like to call it. Yeah, no, listen, I'm not exhausted. And I value any opportunity that we have as a neighborhood to get together. And I always appreciate it that much more. Like, boy, life would be a little bit more challenging if our neighbors were awful people. Like, no, all good people, all good families. We had a blast. Fun Tony came out. Fun Tony is always my favorite. When Fun Tony comes out after a couple of cocktails, and Fun Tony Ubered downtown, so Fun Tony was ready to go. When Fun Tony comes out, apologies to anybody that lives in the Long Pond Main Lane neighborhood of Greece, because you may have heard an Italian man around 11 o'clock at night go, "Oh, Giuseppe, andiamo!"
Oh, boy.
I mean, it was Fun Tony, my favorite.
Is he just normal Tony then when he's cutting the grass? And then
normal Tony, normal Tony is great. Fun Tony is next level.
Are these the same guys that you play cards with?
Yep.
Everyone? Okay.
Yep. All right. Oh, believe me, if I put a recording device in the middle of the table, well, first of all, you know, so many things that are said that are off color. We would never be able to air it here in the sports bar. But it would make for an interesting podcast. I think it would make for entertaining. But it is funny. When the recording device were to come out, if it were to ever come out, everybody would kind of...
You do realize your neighborhood is the exception. Where most people live, they're not going and socializing as a group. It's almost like a... I don't want to say click,
I feel bad for you if you don't have that. I really do. Like, I think that's important. I think it's important for you as an adult. I think it's important for your kids to see that, you know, you have, that you have people that you're close with in your own neighborhood. There's a sense of security and safety that comes with that. I feel bad for you if you don't have
danger.
That.
The guy, I don't care saying this because I've lived in my neighborhood 6 years. The guy who lives across the street from me, I try to make eye contact, head down, walks away.
Okay. Yeah.
No problem.
There's a few people that I know that we work with that have situations with their immediate neighbors. And I'm telling you, man, I put a value on it. Rich, Ken, you're not allowed to move ever. My next door neighbors. Never.
I was exposed to this last year when your wife had the 80s party on the bus and they all came out all dressed in their 80s stuff.
Yes.
Like, jeez.
Yes. Came out strong in support. Love that neighborhood. Had a blast. Cinco de Mayo, though. You know how many times I got hit with, "Hey, it's your holiday." Half Spanish, not Mexican.
I saw Duffy do that to you once, and you did not take kindly. Latino, that
no
is
no disrespect.
No
disrespect to the Latinos. No disrespect to the Mexicans. Spanish, not my holiday. My family's killed people for less. Let's not make that mistake again. Okay, good.
Duly noted.
Yes. All right, let's move on to Bill Hoppe. Talk some Sabres hockey. You can read his work at buffalohockeybeat.com. Our guest next in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
The voice of the Bills, John Murphy, and Bills Wall of Famer, Steve Tasker, give you all the latest news from One Bills Drive. One Bills Live is your home for exclusive interviews, live updates, and in-depth NFL analysis. Murph and Tasker take you inside the locker and down on the sideline to keep you up to date with everything Bills. Right here, noon to 3, on the home of the Buffalo Bills. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The best local sports talk in the
Flower City, One Bills Live, and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
With his ear to the ground on all things Buffalo Sabres hockey, you can read his work at BuffaloHockeyBeat.com. The great Bill Hoppe, our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bill, how you been?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Bill, look, we're just enjoying these Stanley Cup playoffs, wondering what it'll be like someday in Western New York when it comes back our way. But in the interim, I mean, how Darlene, from what we've seen, how much of an impact player would this player be to Buffalo or any team that drafted him?
Oh, he's going to be a huge impact player. And you hate to overstate things because this day and age, so many things get overhyped, especially prospects and young players. But, I mean, he is, by every account, everything I've seen, the real deal, one of the best defense prospects in decades, NHL ready at 17. I mean, he just turned 18 in last month. He has a chance to be a terrific defenseman in the NHL, a franchise defenseman, and I think he's the kind of guy who could change the Sabres franchise. And he fills a huge hole. I mean, the Sabres need a number one defenseman that can play in every situation, 25 minutes plus a night. I mean, they have Rasmus Ristolainen, and he's, you know, he's pretty good. But he's kind of become overrated. I think there's too much pressure put on him. I think he's given too much ice time, and I think this will help Ristolainen loosen the load on him. And there's so many different things it does for the Sabres.
Bill, is there a way that we can project? I mean, we haven't even hit the draft yet, and of course, there's a lot of preseason to go before we talk about what that starting lineup looks like on opening night. But I'm curious as to your thoughts as to how these defensemen pair up, assuming Darlene is the guy, and it's a strong assumption he's going to be the number one overall pick. You re-signed Casey Nelson recently. How does the blue line pair up for you if you're looking at opening night for the Buffalo Sabres?
Well, honestly, I'm not very sure. I mean, I think there's a good chance, especially with Darlene coming as a full, that Rasmus Ristolainen could be traded. He's a guy that would fetch a pretty good return. He's a guy that I think needs a change of scenery or could use a change of scenery. But, I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think there'll be a notable trade by the Sabres, whether it's him or O'Reilly or someone notable will go. But you expect Darlene, even as a rookie, to probably be their number one defenseman at least by the middle of the year or late in the year. Maybe he's paired up with Ristolainen. You expect Jake McCabe to be better than he was last year. I think he had a very disappointing year. He hurt his shoulder and the season ended early. But you expect him to be better. You have a guy like Casey Nelson coming back after being what I think was the Sabres' biggest surprise. And I don't think he's going to get the minutes that he got. But if he's a third pair defenseman, I think that's a pretty good spot for him. So, I mean, they do have some nice pieces there. I mean, they're not as bad as the defense has been for a few years. They do have some nice pieces.
Bill Hoppe from the Buffalo Hockey Beat. Read his work, BuffaloHockeyBeat.com. Our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Where do you think Brandon Gouley fits in? Because early in the season here in Rochester, wow. Okay, here's somebody that is dominating this level, but then goes up, and there were injuries. So, how do you think the year planned out for Brandon Gouley, and how do you think he fits in next year?
I think he had a pretty good first pro season. I think there was a lot of expectations on him. I mean, before Tim Murray got fired, he was expected to basically skip the AHL and go right to the Sabres. But I think the year in the AHL did him pretty well. I think he looked okay when he played up with the Sabres for about a month or so. But, you know, with Darlene coming into the fold, who knows what else they're going to do to address the blue line. Maybe he doesn't start next season in Buffalo. Maybe he goes back to Rochester for a month or 3 weeks or 2 months, and maybe they'd give him that extra seasoning. I mean, he could still play down there. I mean, they're not out of options with him yet. So I think there's a good chance, even though he had a good season, that he might be back in Rochester for a little bit at least.
Bill, towards the end of last season, when it became more and more apparent that Robin Lehner has probably seen his last game in a Sabres sweater, I think a lot of us had confidence. Like, oh, you got Ullmark. I mean, he's proven all he can prove at the AHL level. Then the three-game playoff series with Syracuse happened, and we're all kind of going, I know it's a small sample size, but Ullmark was shaky in that series. Let's be honest. Are we right in being a little less than confident in the idea that Linus Ullmark could be the starting goaltender for the Sabres to start next season?
I still think there's a very good chance that he'll be the starter, or at least be in some sort of rotation. I'm not sure what the Sabres are going to do to address their goaltending. It'll be Allmark and someone else, whether they make a trade or just sign a free agent. The market for goalies is tough. There aren't a lot of very good free agents. I don't see any scenario in which Robin Leonard comes back. I think he played his last game for the Sabres. But yeah, I mean, if you're Linus Allmark, those were three bad games, and his body of work over three North American seasons outweighs basically a bad weekend or so. But those were the biggest games of his North American career, and he didn't come through. So I think you kind of have to examine the whole picture. But in the long term, I don't think it affects the Sabres' plan for him. He should be up with them next year.
Jason Botterill was true to his word, saying that he wanted to start the rebuild here in Rochester, and although the playoffs was a short run, it was notable they made the playoffs, Bill. A lot of decisions at this level that certainly will impact Buffalo. What are the biggest decisions you think that's facing Botterill when it comes to, from who saw significant ice time here in Rochester as far as who may not be with the organization next year?
Well, I think he's going to be charged with finding the right veteran mix again. I don't think there are a lot of prospects that are going to graduate to Rochester next year. I mean, we probably have William Borgen for a full year. He's a good prospect. I'd have to go through my head here. But he found the right veteran mix this past season. Just established AHL guys who are like Zahir Gill. He signed other guys that were terrific, acquired other guys like Zach Redmond, who's one of the AHL's best defensemen. And for a team that didn't have a ton of prospects, they were one of the best teams in the league for a while. They finally got back in the playoffs, and he more or less repaired Rochester. Now it's hard to find that mix, and he did a good job with it, and I think that's what he's going to have to try to do again, just sign the right veteran. Not necessarily just sign the best players like we saw Tim Murray do a few years ago, where you throw money at these guys, you throw one-way contracts at guys, and they come to Rochester. Jason Botterill did a much better job of building a team.
Bill Hoppe, BuffaloHockeyBeat.com, our guest in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Last week, Russ Brandon resigns, and boy, Sabres Twitter, Bill's Twitter, erupting after the resignation. And then, of course, the appointment of Kim Pegula's team president. Now, the first thing that I started seeing immediately after that was announced from Sabres Twitter specifically was, oh, you got to bring in a hockey guy. You got to bring in a hockey president. Bill, what side of the fence are you on? I mean, do you look at what Kim Pegula is going to be doing in that Russ Brandon role as it's more of the same, or do you believe that the Sabres do actually need to get a hockey person in that team president role?
I think a hockey person would be very good for that team role. If you look at a lot of successful teams, they have a hockey person in that role, whether it's Cam Neely or Luke Robitaille with the Kings. There's some names that are escaping me.
Shanahan, yeah.
Yeah, Brendan Shanahan definitely put his mark on the Maple Leafs. But, I mean, all that said, it's the Pegula's team. They can do what they want. Kim Pegula's a very smart woman, and I'm interested to see what she can do. She certainly, I mean, there's certain things around the rink with the Bills. You can definitely tell she put her mark on. I think she's done a good job in some facets. So let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, you brought up the rink there, and our perspective here in Rochester, at least, Bill, when I go to Buffalo, I'm, wow, this is really nice. But I read other things, and I read the stories that maybe it is time for an upgrade. In your opinion, just how extensive, what's needed here at the KeyBank Arena as far as this remodel they're talking about?
A lot. It's hard to believe it's, 21 plus years old, and they start showing their age by then. And all the other, I mean, that was part of the NHL, NBA rink boom in the mid-late 90s, and a lot of those other places are undergoing huge renovations or have already undergone huge renovations. And, I mean, it's not knocking down walls and expanding stuff. It's just, a lot of it's just simple care. I mean, they need new seats at KeyBank Center. They're dirty, to be honest with you. A lot of them are very dirty. Sometimes it's hard to find a clean seat to sit in. It's just things like that they need to do, among other things. I mean, there are some other projects that will catch people's eyes, but it's just a lot of just simple care. And that's something that Kim Pegula is going to probably probably be charged with. I think Russ Brandon went on trips to other rinks to see what they had done, and she'll probably inherit that now. Just what kind of renovations they're going to do. And it'll be, it needs it. It's not that they can get away another year or two. I think they need to really get going on this because it's starting to show its age.
Bill, I mean, you've spent time at Blue Cross Arena. When you look at Blue Cross Arena and KeyBank Center and you put them side to side, of course, Buffalo would be the priority. That's the pro team. But, hey, you know, everything you're describing about KeyBank Center, we've been dealing with in Rochester for, I don't know, the last 5, 10 years. I mean, you know, how do you prioritize if you're Kim Pegula? What needs to be fixed first, the arena with the leaky roof or the arena with the dirty seats?
Well, I think NHL is always going to take priority over the AHL. But, yeah, I mean, they own that team, too, and I think Rochester is going to be have to be addressed at some time. I go there maybe 5-10 times a year. I haven't seen all the problems, but it's probably one of the older buildings in the league, that has quite a few older buildings. A lot of the newer rinks are, Lehigh Valley has one. I mean, they're beautiful. They're like mini NHL rinks, and right now Blue Cross can't compare to that.
Do you ever? I mean, back in 2015, I don't want to stir the pot here, but there was talk that the Amherst would, perhaps split half of their time, maybe even play games at the Harbor Center, and the Harbor Center could never house an AHL team full time, correct?
I don't think I was at 2,800. I don't think so. I mean, they have the preseason game every year, and I guess they could move some games there, but that doesn't really work, in my opinion.
Bill Hoppe is the editor at BuffaloHockeyBeat.com. You can read his work there. Really good stuff. Joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bill, let's look around the NHL. We saw one series come to an end. We'll get to what the hell is going on with Vegas and just how they've done. They continue their improbable run. But before we do that, I wanted to talk about Evander Kane. We want to trigger that conditional pick. I mean, you know, they didn't win the Stanley Cup, which is what we were kind of all pulling for. But now it's just a matter of him re-signing with San Jose. What do you think the likelihood of that is?
I think it's very possible. He seems to fit very well there. He played well there. It's just, a lot of people were wondering, where does Evander Kane fit? And, you hear Vancouver, he's from there, of course. You hear a couple of teams thrown out there, but he went to San Jose and he had impact. He helped them win a playoff round. Seemed to hit, I think he was living with Joe Thornton or something. Joe Thornton picked him up from the airport. So I think they can get him for a good deal. I don't think, at one time I thought maybe Evander Kane might break the bank, but I don't think he's going to get as much money maybe as we first thought. So, I mean, maybe he gets 5 years and $30 million from the Sharks or 4 years or whatever. And I think it's very possible he could stay there.
Danger, something we didn't really get to touch on here, but in the loss on Saturday, make that Friday night, Brian Gionta was on the ice and did not tie up his man that led to the game-winning goal. Boston's now out of it. Bill Hoppe, our guest here in the sports bar. Bill, is that it for Brian Gionta, or could you see him holding out hope that he'll try to give it another go here?
Well, when I saw that goal, my hope was that that's not Brian Gionta's last shift in the NHL. It could be. He's going to be 40 years old, I think, in January. There aren't a lot of 40-year-olds in the NHL. He probably could have played a full NHL season this year if he wanted to move his family, but he didn't. There's a lot of interest after the Olympics. So never say never. I think he can play pro somewhere. If he wants to keep playing somewhere overseas or in the AHL, I mean, there'd be plenty of opportunities there. But as far as the NHL, I'm not sure. There just aren't a lot of 40-year-old forwards.
Bill, we're about to enter conference final season. Vegas has punched their ticket. We've got a couple of game sixes tonight. Boy, I'm just curious, first of all, what has Vegas done to continue this remarkable run? I mean, nobody could have predicted that this was going to happen. Some people, expected your typical expansion team fare out of the Vegas Golden Knights, which is certainly what we haven't seen. And I'm curious also as to whether or not you think one of these two series tonight will come to an end.
Well, I mean, Vegas, I thought they would be okay. I didn't think they'd be I didn't think they'd have 15 wins like a lot of expansion teams do, but I know I don't think anyone expected this. They just, I mean, they're ferocious, they're fast, and they play with a chip on their shoulder, and they've never stopped playing like that basically the whole season. And it's amazing that they've done this. This is already, I think, one of the greatest sports stories ever, one of the greatest hockey stories ever. And, they are a real threat. I mean, they might win the Stanley Cup. It's incredible to think that. As far as the other series, the Winnipeg tonight, Nashville, Winnipeg's very good. I mean, they've been building now for a while. I don't think because they're out in Winnipeg, out in a different time zone, I don't think a lot of people just realized how good they are right now. They have a lot of depth. They're fast. They're everything you want a team to be. And I think they could win it all. I mean, they're about to knock off maybe the best team in the NHL. So that's impressive. And then Washington, Pittsburgh, you always figure Washington's going to fritter it away somehow, blow it. But, I mean, they have the Penguins on the ropes. Maybe this is finally their year.
Yeah, I keep watching this Washington-Pittsburgh series thinking, okay, this is where the Penguins blow this in game five. They didn't. Oh, my gosh. But that being said, Bill, if it goes to game seven, I still don't trust them. If Washington's going to move on, it's got to be tonight, correct?
Yeah, you would think so. It's amazing that Alex Ovechkin, one of the greatest players in NHL history, I don't think he's ever played in a conference final. I mean, and he's 13, 14 seasons into his career now. And as good as he's been, he's never gotten them over the hump. So maybe this is the year. I mean, if not this year, I don't know if they'll ever do it, but it's true.
Off the top of my head, back to the Winnipeg series, I don't know what Tyler Myers' plus-minus is, but boy, when you kind of watch his game under the jeweler's eye, it certainly seems like he's still somewhat of a liability out there on the blue line. Bill, I don't know if you're seeing the same thing.
I haven't watched the series that closely. I watched one of the games last week. But, I think the thing with defensemen like that, when they have the puck that much, when they're on the ice for 25 minutes, there's going to be mistakes. I mean, they're going to cough up the puck at some point. Coaches want them to be aggressive, and that's going to happen. I think Tyler Myers is a terrific defenseman, and I think the Sabres should have kept him, to be honest with you. I think he could fill a big void for them right now. And I think Tyler Myers is one of the reasons the Jets are in the position they are right now.
Bill Hoppe, Buffalo Hockey Beat, our guest, bringing it back to Buffalo. Bill, a fill-in-the-blank question here for you. The biggest decision facing Jason Botterill this offseason is?
Oh, boy. Whether or not he trades Rasmus Ristolainen, I'll say. That's my big decision. Maybe I'm forgetting something that is...
I guess on the surface, yeah, if you get a good response. But are you saying it is a big decision because he still could be that top pairing defenseman everybody hopes here, Bill? Is there still hope in your mind that he'll figure it out?
Yeah. I mean, he's been, for the last few years, he's been good. It's just that he's playing minutes he shouldn't be playing. He's never had a defenseman really to relieve him, to take the pressure off him. A couple of years ago, we thought he would probably be an all-star by now, but he hasn't. He's kind of regressed. But, I mean, this is a guy playing 25 minutes a night, gets 40 points, plays in every situation. He's not a bad player by any stretch.
What do you do with Ryan O'Reilly?
Well, that's another one. I mean, do you want to trade him? Is there a market for him? Because he has a lot of terminal high of money left. Again, yeah. He's a terrific player who just maybe he shouldn't quite play that much. Maybe there's too much pressure on him to produce offensively and so forth. And then, of course, his words at locker cleanout about losing his passion. I don't think that meant that he threw in the towel. I mean, to me, he was the same old Ryan O'Reilly. But those words had an effect with fans, and maybe they move on from him. I don't know. I would still keep him.
Follow him on Twitter at Bill Hoppe, NHL. You can read his work at BuffaloHockeyBeat.com. Beat coverage of the Buffalo Sabres from the Olean Times Herald. Bill Hoppe has been our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Bill, we love having you on. Thanks again, and we look forward to talking again soon. Enjoy your afternoon.
All right. Thank you, guys. You too.
Bill Hoppe, who, like us, wondering when Dahlin comes in, who gets that assignment? I would want, and I hate the phrase stay-at-home defenseman, but that's the only way I can describe it, Danger. A defenseman, you need a veteran out there. I wouldn't go all young. You don't want to pair him up with a Gouley or somebody like that right off of the bat. And to be honest, I don't know if that defenseman's on the roster right now.
Have you yet to hear someone say something negative about Rasmus Dahlin? I haven't.
No. Maybe we got to dig in a little bit more, right?
I haven't. Yeah. Brighter days ahead for the Buffalo Sabres. Great having Bill Hoppe on with us. And if you missed that conversation, we'll have it for you on demand shortly at the all-new ESPNRochester.com. All right, Gino, let's get to NFL appetizers next. Go around the world of the NFL and serve up today's top stories in bite-sized form. Some movement around the league. A little bit more color in terms of who we're going to be watching and hearing in the Monday Night Football broadcast.
And a new home for C.J. Anderson as well. We'll get to that here coming up in all NFL appetizers.
On the way in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, here we go, fellas.
The latest news from around the National Football League.
Huddle up. Let's have a little fun today.
Huddle up.
What the hell's going on out here?
Served up in bite-sized form.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Danger and Battaglia are serving up NFL appetizers.
We're not posing for football cards now, offense. We're not posing for football cards. Let's play with some speed.
Now in the sports bar.
Come on, be a man's man now. Here we go.
Now with not one but two collusion grievances against them, the NFL individuals, teams, they may be giving them the ability to create their own policies on whether or not players should be allowed to kneel during the national anthem. This report, according to the Washington Post, it was the league which gave players the right to protest in the first place. So as a matter of labor law, maybe a challenge to change their anthem policy or give the control to the teams. And then there's the NFLPA, which could use any policy change or decision as a bargaining chip in their next round of negotiations in a collective bargaining agreement.
Carolina has a new running back to add to their backfield arsenal. Panthers have signed veteran running back C.J. Anderson. Anderson, released by the Broncos, even though he rushed for over 1,000 yards last season. Anderson providing a solid compliment to Christian McCaffrey, who, despite his skills, may not be considered an every-down back. Cameron Artis Payne and Fozzie Whitaker complete the Panthers' backfield. It's a thin group after they released Jonathan Stewart, who's now a New York Giant.
After a couple of seasons of underperformance in New Orleans, the Saints have released tight end Kobe Fleener. Fleener was brought in from the Colts in 2016 with the hopes of being a replacement for Jimmy Graham. Well, if the move is designated post-June 1st, the Saints will save $3 million against the cap this year. If not, it'll be $8.2 million in dead money this year. Fleener had 72 catches for 926 yards and 5 touchdowns in 27 games for the Saints over the last 2 years. He also had a 2-yard rushing touchdown during the 2016 season and ended the 2017 season on IR due to a concussion. Benjamin Watson is signed as a free agent this offseason. He'll join Josh Hill and Michael, oh goodness,
Humanawanui.
Thank you, in the Saints tight end core.
The Alliance of American Football has a third team. We'd already known that Steve Spurrier is going to coach a team in Orlando. Brad Childress will coach a team in Atlanta. Today comes word that Memphis will be home to the third of 8 franchises in the Developmental League, founded by Charlie Ebersole and Bill Polian. Former NFL star Hines Ward will travel to Memphis next week to announce the team's first head coach.
Booger McFarland is about to channel his inner Tony Siragusa. McFarland will be joining ESPN's Monday Night Football broadcast team as a field analyst. This according to The Athletic. ESPN used Louis Riddick as a field analyst during the Pro Bowl, and as it turns out, the move was a test run for the new position. Riddick, Matt Hasselbeck, and Kurt Warner were also considerations for the position. It's never been a part of Monday Night Football's legacy. Lisa Salters will continue to serve as the sideline reporter.
Yeah, nobody listens to us, Gino. We're just a small little radio show and a pirate ship radio station here in Rochester, New York. Why? Why would you listen to anything that comes out of our mouths? What do we know? Well, I tell you what I know, Gene. I know that this is a mistake. There is only one person.
Yes.
One person that you would hire to be your field reporter, and it is not Booger McFarland.
Beth,
Coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL, and here he is having the time of his life. This night, making his head coaching debut.
That is the kind of field reporting I expect out of Monday Night Football. I expect nothing less.
I'm holding out hope because that happened on the late Monday night game. We still don't know who the team is. And I'm going to say this seriously. I think he deserves another shot. You would tune in if you're a football broadcasting junkie to hear Sergio Monday night. What is the? It's in Oakland this year, right? It's the it's the Rams and the Raiders. Oh, yeah. Ron, put Sergio back on that game.
Lisa Salters is a sideline reporter. I'm fine with that. Fine. Okay. Lisa Salters, fine. All right. You've got Joe Tessitore. You've got Jason Witten. But you can't tell me Booger is better than Sergio. No.
I mean, I don't like the Siragusa angle, though. I mean, it's kind of...
That's what they're going with, right? Booger, Siragusa, they kind of got same big guy, big lovable guy, just standing in the back of the end zone. We'll cut to him from time to time, just kind of doing his thing down there, talking about what he's seeing on the field. How do you get better than talking about a coach's diversity and him having the time of his life? That's the kind of hard-hitting analysis that makes a Monday Night Football broadcast. It's the kind of analysis you get from Sergio. Sergio Dip! ESPN, you made a mistake.
What do we know?
Do we know? Yeah. We don't know anything. Don't take us seriously. I like Booger. I think that's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be totally different.
I give him credit for trying something different, for Monday Night Football. It's not a new concept, of course, but it is different for Monday Night Football. And I'm interested to see how it all works out. But anytime I've heard Booger filling in on ESPN Radio, he's really, really good. And I think he's going to make a great field reporter. And, boy, when you hear that he beat out the likes of Kurt Warner, Matt Hasselbeck, Louis Riddick, that's nice. He's a big personality on the field, like what you had in Tony Siragusa all those years for Fox. There's NFL appetizers in the sports bar. Look at that, Gene. Happy hour is upon us.
Happy hour on a Monday. You know, I think Steeler fans, actually, you should be excited over the news over the weekend. This isn't drama. This is all going to work out short term. Long term is the fascinating discussion here, though.
Oh, we're going to talk about what Ben Roethlisberger said on our sister station, talking about the Steelers' decision to draft a quarterback in the third round. Okay. Sure, we'll dive into that next. We'll also give you another round of shots and take you around the world of sports here for your ride home. Stay in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, appreciate you listening. ESPN Rochester.
The grass is cut. The lines are chalked. The first pitch has been thrown. And now it's time to play ball.
Play ball!
Home for Major League Baseball is ESPN Rochester. Listen to the sports leader all summer to hear MLB's best matchups, including Sunday Night Baseball.
Ice cold beer!
America's pastime lives on Rochester's most listened to sports station, AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.